these are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We are at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you want to call into today's show, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. And with that, very thankful I have Senator Mike Cronk on the phone with me. Senator, how you doing?
I'm great. How about yourself?
Doing great. You, boy, are you in a element down there in Tok?
Yes, sir, we are. Yeah.
But from the beginning, I've been texting you and following you, and so thankful that you have always been a very active elected official. So thank you for that. And it's showing now.
I appreciate that. I feel my job as an elected official is to make sure we have every resource available for when something like this does happen, you know, in whatever community, you know, even if it wasn't in my district, I still want to be with those people. We're all Alaskan. So, yeah, my job was to, you know, try to get as many resources as possible to first of all, put out the fire, but, you know, to reassure the people that lost their homes that, hey, there's help available. So that's kind of what we've been focusing on.
How did the fire start? Do you know that?
It appears that a tree may have fallen on a power line and broke it, and then it arced, you know, the ground right there. I mean, I kind of saw it the first day right in that same spot. So I think that's where the investigation is going to lead. They brought the best investigators down to try to figure this out. So I don't think it's official, but I think it's kind of official that's where they think it started.
You know, it just sort of reminds you that we live in Alaska. And, you know, down there you get wind, you get deterioration of trees, you know, it's outlying area. That will happen. A dry summer, there it goes.
Yeah, I mean, it was you hate saying it, a perfect storm of conditions, because we've been very dry, and believe it or not, usually this time of year our fire service starts sending our equipment down south, and so we didn't have any air support, whether it's droppers or anything here in the state.
They're all in Colorado.
we got some back, obviously, but it burns so quick and hot that it just took off so fast. I mean, we're really blessed that no one lost their lives. It happened so fast and burned so quickly. And when you drive through it, like I drove through it that evening of the first day, and you can't even explain the devastation. It's just gray ash. You know, it was so hot that homes were melted. There's just like a pile of metal laying there. Probably one of the most devastating things I've ever seen, you know, when you're driving around in the middle of a fire and seeing it, you know.
And then you're dealing with Alaskans who have suffered the consequences of that through no fault of their own.
Yeah, no. Well, and, you know, part of it, I think, you know, this really should highlight to Alaskans that we need to be pretty firewise. We need to, you know, be firewise for our own homes. You know, say in Tok, you know, we have lots of black spruce and white spruce. It's very thick. You know, we've had fire breaks around town. One of our previous foresters did it, you know, which, you know, he knows they would definitely save the town. But when a fire starts in the middle of a subdivision, there's not a lot of fire breaks that are going to stop something like this happen. You know, with 20, 30 mile hour winds, it just exploded. It's one of those things is where we live. It's what we have to deal with, but doesn't mean we can't be a lot you know, more firewise. I can guarantee next year there'll be a 100-foot buffer around my house.
Yeah, I'm sure there will be.
Yep.
Oh my goodness. Oh. What sort of state or federal aid is looking at coming in?
Well, I mean, you know, I was on the phone with the governor like right away. He didn't even know the fire had started, but I mean, you know, I really appreciate him. You know, if there's one thing, you know, we can all, I mean, I would hope everybody can agree on, when there was a disaster in the state, our governor has been on the ball. No matter what, wherever it's been, he's been a rock star. And he released every resource we could. So we have state resources. The Red Cross has shown up. I'm not sure if FEMA has showed up yet. A lot of times they don't do anything until things are kind of over with. But we've had a real big response of the agencies. I think the state's down there right now to help applicants, you know, in person, and stuff like that. So it's been a big response and a, you know, big community response, donations from all across the state. In fact, is I think they got overwhelmed and they were like, hey, let's slow this down. We got to be real specific at what we're getting now because we just don't have the people and where to put stuff. But you know, people are very thankful, not, you know, for the people reaching out all across the state to help right now. So
yeah. Approximately how many homes were affected, structures?
That seems to change. We know 25 for sure, but then I just read something today where it was could be 40. I'm not saying those are per se were homes. That could mean structures right now.
Yeah.
So we think about 25 homes for sure got burned down, you know. I mean, and we're talking people lost everything. It wasn't like you can go recover anything. It's gone. So pretty devastating.
Yeah, that is my goodness. So next steps, do you know what people are looking at for next steps besides relocation?
It's a tough one. I mean, you know, people don't, at least from what I hear, most people don't want to leave Koch, but they also don't want to rebuild back where they were. So, you know, I'm going to kind of work with DNR. I, you know, if there was any previous land sales or, you know, land set aside for sales in the future or anything in Koch, if that could be made available, we're going to look at every option, you know, for people to, if they want to stay, but you know, we're creeping up on, you know, on winter right now.
Yeah. So, where you know, caribou are being taken out where you're at right now.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're in crunch time right now. And I mean, we're thinking out of the box and all. I mean, there's a group building some small, temporary shelters, that, you know, could work, but we want to call them shelters because we don't want to, you know, beat the definition of a home and not be able to get any help when it comes to that. So the community is coming together, you know, and stuff. And I'm kind of scheming some ideas outside of just state or federal. You know, I got to talk to Dan Sullivan. I mean, he returned a call right away. You know, Congressman Begich, it's very, you know, I'm very thankful to have a relationship with those people of making sure we have the resources. So, you know, it's one of those things.
Yeah, it, you know, very unexpected. but that's Alaska. And
it is.
And also, unexpectedly, you came forth during an unexpected time to help your constituents in any way, state, shape, or form that the state, if not federal officials, could help them.
Yeah, you know, and I told people at the public meeting, I was like, hey, you know, I thank the fire people that were there. I said, those guys and the volunteers are the ones doing the boots on the ground. But my job as an elected official is to make sure that the resources that are available through state or federal entities are in our community and can help, you know, help the people the most. So I've been focusing on that aspect of it a little more because I did leave out of town, and that's when I got to personally meet with Senator Sullivan and Congressman Begich to talk about this with one-on-one time. And I think that helped a lot, to kind of explain the situation to him. I was like, this is devastating, you know. I said, you know, you take out 25 homes in this community of Koch, you know. I mean, I don't want to say that's a quarter of the homes, but, you know, that's a – eighth of all the homes in the whole town that got burned down. It's pretty devastating.
Senator, we're going to take a commercial break, and we'll be back, okay?
Yes, sir.
Fairbanks, you're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
You say you never give in to a meltdown and never fill your feed with kid photos. You say you'd never put a pacifier in your mouth to clean it and never let them run wild through the grocery store. So when you say you'd never let them get into a car without you there, no, it can happen. 1 in 4 hot car deaths happen when a kid gets into an unlocked car and can't get out. Never happens. Before you leave the car, always stop. Look. Lock. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound.
Brandon Leonard Roberts here with Chase Edstrom of North Pole, Alaska, who reeled in an 18.80-pound silver salmon aboard the Liquid Asset. So, Chase, you've mentioned that you've been watching the leaderboard, and I do want to ask the burning question everyone's going to want to know. I mean, you're in first place right now, and you're fairly confident that this fish is going to stand the test of time, as you said. And we've only got a few more weeks left in the Valdez Silver Salmon Derby. It runs through September 6th. We'd like to know, what would you do with $10,000 if you won the Valdez Silver Salmon Derby?
We're going to pay the taxes or whatever gets withheld, and I'm donating the rest of it.
Oh, okay. And yeah, of course, you're going to pay the taxes on it. But what kind of cause would you donate the winnings to?
I'm going to give it to the Door in Fairbanks.
Oh, okay. Can you tell us what the Door is in Fairbanks for folks here in Valdez who may not know what that is?
They help out, kids that might be in a not so great home that may or may not have, a hot meal to eat and, the proper clothes that they would need and, stuff like that.
Wow, that sounds like a great cause. You don't hear someone saying that they would donate their winnings very often, so that's great to hear.
Coming to Valdez? Stay at Valdez RV Park. These TripAdvisor reviews tell you all you need to know.
Each site was clearly labeled, ground was graded well, and it's so close to the harbor.
Owners are friendly and accommodating, and the laundry, shower, and bathrooms were very clean. They even had s'mores at the fire pit.
Visit ValdezRVPark.com today.
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
KFAR Weather.
Highs around 65 today under overcast skies with a slight chance for isolated rain showers. Southeast winds around 5 miles per hour. Cloudy skies again tonight. Chance for scattered rain showers. Lows level off around 51. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Rain showers likely. High temperatures reach up to 61. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Senator Mike Kronk on the phone with me. How are you doing, Senator?
I'm good.
Okay, we're going to take a pivot, and I'm reviewing your four picks in Dave's lottery.
Mm-hmm.
You failed.
I think I have 3 out of 4, right?
You did, yeah. You had number 1, Baggage, number 2, Bishop, number 3, Wilson, number 4, Bronson. And, JKT, Baggage, Wilson, and Bronson. So no one got JKT in first place. At the most, I had... one person had him number 2, and that was, but they had Bishop number 1, and there's only 2 people who had all 4, not in placement order, but in all 4, and one was Libby Dalton Slane, and the other person was yours truly, myself, moi. So what the heck? So no one gets pizza.
I think I was more on the side, erring on the side of I really didn't want to admit it.
You went with the local guy. whose place you took. Like, yeah, you took his place, so you went the local guy. Anyway, it's an interim year. I mean, an interim time frame for the year, and should be an interesting legislative session for you going down to Juneau with, no matter what, a new governor.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see who it is. But no matter what, we still got work to do, and you know, hopefully, find a way to organize where, you know, we have some say one way or another on how the state moves forward.
Yeah, that will be good. You know, it seems like you've had with, and I know you can't really comment on this, but with Stedman, then the two rural senators, then Wielichowski, they've been there for so long. And it's just telling. It's just telling.
Yeah, you know, but I think was, you know, some of us newer people in there, you know, we're trying to change the way things have always been done, right? Because I mean, that was the first thing I've always heard. Hey, this is the way we always done it. And I'm like, well, that's not the way we have to continue doing it, you know.
It's a new millennium, and it's a new decade. It's two new decades into a new millennium. Come on, guys, figure this one out.
Yeah. You know, and you know, I mean, like, a simple thing for me, it's like, you have majorities, minorities, right? And,
mm-hmm.
and pretty much in the end, the majority just decides for everybody. And I'm like, I don't really like that. You know, I would much rather have, you know, the leadership and the minority in those conversations also, because ultimately we all have to work together. And I'm more of a open, hey, let's all find some common ground and where we can find it and work together to come up with, you know, versus in the end, I mean, pretty much it's like, hey, the budget, here's the budget.
Yeah, because anything the majority wants to do, they didn't have enough votes to override a veto except for one in 4 years on education one time. And, you know, it's you want to get this passed to governor, you better work with the Republicans. Simple as that.
Yeah, I mean, it is, you know, and that's the sad part and you know, and not to fault the legislature itself, you know, we got to give the governor's office a little bit of fault also of, you know, maybe not working as well together, you know, and communicating as good as they should also, you know. But I think there's blame to lay, you know, and I'm a big enough person to say, yeah, there's blame all around. But we got to do better. We got to do better for our state, no matter what. I mean, no matter if we have a Democrat governor, we got to figure out a way to work with them. So, you know, we're still moving our state forward and not backwards, right? You know, we all know we have financial constraints, and you know, we need to figure out a way to have a fiscal plan that we stick to versus just random. You know, I just don't think I can support, hey, the price of oil is at $90 a barrel. We'll spend all that money.
I know. God.
I just don't think I can support that. It's like, no, how about we put that away in savings, or, you know.
Increase the dividend a little bit so people can pay their utilities.
Yeah, you know, stuff like that. Yeah, absolutely. I tried to do that this year. I tried to say, hey, let's, you know, I mean, me and, you know, Rep Stapp tried to, you know, in conference committee, we tried to get the permanent fund up to $1,500, you know, versus the other stuff. And of course, we got voted down, but, you know, we have to, you know, at least try. It's like, hey, man, there's high costs, you know, people, you know, are being pinched. Let's give them a little bit more money. But no, we went the other direction. So it's a frustrating process. And I just think the more we have, the more people involved with it and have a say in it, there's more buy-in. Everybody has constituents, no matter what, whether you're a majority or minority. And you know what? And those constituents should matter.
True.
When it comes to, you know, I'm a firm believer in that. Whether I'm in the majority or the minority, I think every person should matter because they were elected by their constituents no different than I was. So,
you know, you have some very unique, and I'm being polite with that word,
I'm sure you
elected know. Officials, and some out of Anchorage are just, they're not socialists anymore. They are communists. I mean, it's, it'd be bad.
Yeah, except there's many days where I wonder.
Yeah, you know. Then Fairbanks, we have Ashley Carrick who's trying to, you know, take Ada and put it away into her, into, you know, anything they do is legislative approval. the number one industrial commercial bank in the state of Alaska. Oh.
Correct. Right. Yeah. I mean, and pays the state a dividend from, you know,
yeah,
they have, you know, we go, it's frustrating because, you know, no matter what, we all want to develop Alaska in the most responsible, clean, you know, way possible. No one wants to ruin the environment. I mean, I'm convinced of that, but you know, you have to have jobs. Like, we cry more money for education. I'm like, well, what are we educating the kids for? If there's no jobs, they're not staying here.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we got the oil industry. Great. We're trying to squeeze them out. You know, we can't build a gas line. We're opposed to any mines or anything. And I'm like, I was flying around to some of the villages early, and I have some really excited young kids that were, hey, man, we're really excited. And I was like, get a trade, young man. I said, you know what? You have so much opportunity. You guys could be millionaires in 10 years.
Yeah.
If you get a trade, you get a job at Donlin or wherever, you guys will be millionaires after 10 years.
Work hard.
It worked hard. And they were excited about that. You know, you got to give these kids a purpose.
Yeah.
You know, a sense of purpose. You know, purpose. And we're not doing that right now. We're actually going backwards, and it's really frustrating.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, going back to like ADA, I'm on Alaska Housing Finance Corporation's board of directors, and we are mandated to pay a 75% dividend from our earnings back to the state. So we gave them $50 million this year.
Man, you guys are doing pretty good.
Yeah. You know, but hey, but luckily, no one's trying to make it a political aspect of what we have to do. When you start putting political preferences on economics,
right?
That's when stupid things happen.
Yes, sir. I agree.
Sadly so. But you're absolutely right. You know, I look at this next group coming out of high school. Like you said, get a trade. Get a trade, my God. And you will do well. I mean, I spoke to a group of people graduating from the laborers, you know, about 2 years ago, and I said, you guys are spot on. You're always going to have work. Work hard. Get as many certificates as you can. Work hard. You will do well with this union. You have retirement. You have benefits. And
no, I agree.
Anyway, it does get interesting, doesn't it?
Yes, it does every day.
Yeah, you know, I have a retirement, and I have a brother who swipes my account once a month. Yeah, if you can't have your own brother lose your money, who else can you have lose your money? What the heck? Oh, boy. Any plans for traveling? We got about a minute left before the break. Any plans for traveling out of your district prior to winter? I.e., where are you going to go shoot a moose at, buddy?
Oh, well, Alaska.
Oh, okay. Where are you going to go get your sheep at, man?
In the mountains. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to get it. I don't have time, actually. I'm going to go try to make a couple days to go into the mountains. But it, you know, probably won't get something, but I got to go at least go sleep in the mountains for a few days. But, you know, moose hunting, that's more of the meat hunt. You know, you got to get that for winter. I'm flying up to Pika today. I've always wanted to get up there, and they finally made it happen. So we got a overnight trip up there to see Santos's, you know,
tying it in. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
We got the new oil online here, and it's going to help bring more revenue in. And so I'm excited to go see that process because I've never been up there yet, so I'm excited.
We're going to take a commercial break, okay?
Yep.
Fairbanks, we are going to take a commercial break. You're going to have some John Cougar Mellencamp bumper music, whatever that is. Then some Fox News, some state news, some commercials and weather, and we will be back. We'll be right back.
Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
CIA Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent announcing a new round of sanctions against Iran as the talks over reopening the Strait of Hormuz remain stalled. The Treasury Secretary claims no country that works with Iran will be able to avoid these sanctions.
The actions of Treasury and other agencies will tighten the noose and block every potential source of revenue that funds the IRGC and the evil Iranian regime.
Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney, working on a trade agreement on U.S. tariffs, says while they were able to make some progress, talks ultimately fell apart due to demands of the United States.
We made progress. We did make some progress in recent weeks. In the end, that momentum reversed, and we could not accept what the U.S. had offered. Nor could we give what they asked.
President Trump accusing Canada of ripping off the U.S. for years in a recent post on Truth Social. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
An update from the Anchorage Daily News on the plane crash last Thursday that killed all eight aboard. The crash occurred at Cape Newenham Long Range Radar Site Airport. The remote radar site, one of 15 across Alaska, is about 450 miles southwest of Anchorage. The National Weather Service reported fog and extremely low visibility in the area just after the crash. The Security Aviation twin-engine turboprop Cessna Conquest was chartered by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. Two security aviation pilots and six passengers were on the plane, according to Clint Johnson, the National Transportation Safety Board's Alaska Region Chief. Two Army Corps of Engineers employees were on the flight. Four additional contractors were also on the plane, Johnson said during a media briefing Friday. The State Medical Examiner Office has not yet positively identified the remains recovered from the crash site, Alaska Department of Public Safety spokesman Austin McDaniel said in a statement Friday evening. Search and rescue forces arrived at the scene of the crash by Thursday evening, according to Alaskan command officials who oversee the Alaska Rescue Coordination Center at J-Bear.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
This election season, visibility is everything. From yard signs to banners to mailers, Advanced Printing has your campaign covered. With fast turnaround, custom designs, full service printing, and bulk mailing, they help you reach voters when it counts. Whether you're running for city council or a statewide office, make your message stand out, loud and clear. Call or stop by Advanced Printing today and get your campaign moving.
Your partner from design to delivery to victory. Because at Advanced Printing, your business means a mint to us.
Mary Peltola was a do-nothing congresswoman. She missed 20% of her votes and failed to pass a single bill into law. When her lower 48 Liberal Party bosses demanded that she oppose her own bill on expanding Alaska oil production, Mary Peltola cut and ran on our energy workers. She sold Alaska out. Here's Congressman Pete Stauber from Minnesota with the real story on Mary Peltola.
I served with Mary Peltola. She didn't show up for work and didn't get one bill signed into law. Worse, Peltola sponsored a bill to increase Alaska oil production, but her Liberal Party bosses objected, so she voted against her own bill and told other liberals to do the same. I've never seen a member of Congress sell out their state like this. I had to carry the bill across the finish line. Mary Peltola sided with D.C. liberals instead of Alaska.
I'm Dan Sullivan, candidate for U.S. Senate, and I approve this message. Join us. Give today.
Go to putalaskafirst.org. Paid for by Put Alaska First.
This is Ann with the Fairbanks Community Food Bank, thanking you for your support of your local Interior Alaska Food Bank. Because of you, we have had 4 decades of collecting local surplus food to give to those in need. The volunteer hours that you have given, the food that you've donated, and the cash that you have shared has helped tens of thousands of your local neighbors who woke up hungry to go to bed with full bellies. You make a difference in this community, one meal at a time. Thank you for your support of the Fairbanks Community Food Bank.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Prus in the studio here with Senator Mike Cronk. How you doing, sir?
Yep.
So you're going up to Pica.
Yep.
When does that start coming online into the pipeline?
They've already got some oil flowing in there right now. They're not at full capacity yet. You know, I think it's 80,000 barrels, but I do believe they started getting some in the line a couple months ago, actually. So pretty excited.
You know, it's interesting. People complain about Hillcorp, yet they've put these legacy wells producing more oil into the pipeline.
Yep.
And then you have Pica and a couple other ones that are, you know, putting even more and more into the pipeline for revenue to the state of Alaska.
Yep.
But you have BS Bill, who you know, them billionaires in Texas.
Yeah, they're pretty adamant. Oh, Hildebrandt is the enemy. You know, my thing is, you know, there's, you know, S-corp tax. I'm like, here's the deal. You know, no one knows what it's going to generate. You know, they throw random numbers out there. You know, and that's, you know, we're trying to like, okay, where'd you get that number? Well, we don't know. But, you know, we don't know if it's going to be 20 million. We don't know if it's going to be 100 million. But, you know, my thing is I want, you know, and I told Hillcorp this myself, you guys need to be a little better at your PR and say, we have invested, I forgot the number, $20 billion back into our fields to produce more oil, which generates our revenue. And I would much rather have, let's just say the S-Corp raised $100 million. I would much rather have that $100 million reinvested back into fields that up the number of oil, you know, barrel, you know, oil down that pipeline, which brings in more revenue than, you know, it's just it's a fight of what they want to call fairness. But we actually, as a state, begged, Hillcorp to come in and basically buy out BP. Please do this for us. And they did. And you know,
yeah, BP was not reinvesting at all.
You know, and none of those guys, you know, I mean, if it wasn't for Hillcorp, Prudhoe Bay would be producing less. They're the ones that run the field. Even, I mean, they're the ones doing the work for Conoco and Exxon.
They're the operators.
Yeah, they're the ones doing all the drilling and stuff. I mean, they took over, you know, and I can't think of all the fields, but they took over one of the fields that's 20,000 barrels, and it's up to like 52,000 barrels now. But, you know, the investment was billions of dollars, right? I mean, I don't think people understand the amount of money that's reinvested, the harsh conditions that we live in, obviously, up on the slope, to produce this stuff. And it costs a lot of money. Do they make money? Sure, everybody's got to make money. That's just how business works. But I think, you know, it'd be nice to be able to break down, because I know no matter what, right off the top of the bat, there's $12 off of every barrel is what it costs to get it down the pipeline. So
yeah,
no matter what the price of oil is, $12 is gone, right?
Yeah.
Just to get a barrel down to Valdez and back to the refinery. So I think we need to do a better job of explaining, you know, and I just think, you know, we're at a place where, you know, the PFD has been reduced and people are just scrambling to find any method of doing or having a bigger PFD at this point. We don't have 2 million barrels of oil in line. We have, you know, we might be at 500,000 now with what Santos has kicked in.
Yeah.
You know, in the summertime it drops because they're doing more maintenance. But we just don't have the oil going through the line. And if it wasn't for
Hillcorp,
it would, who knows? I mean, I don't think people realize the pipeline was built, its life expectancy on Prudhoe Bay Field was 25 years. So I'm just going to throw this out as just something, you know, because I'm more of a common sense, you know, kind of person. You know, Jay Hammond created a permanent fund, right?
Yeah.
He said, hey, government will spend every penny. But Jay Hammond also knew that oil wasn't going to flow down that pipeline forever either. And so, like, you know, in the back of his mind, he goes, we have to set up something for the future of this state to be able to function. And here we are. Can we get the barrels of oil up to, you know, 750, 800,000? Yeah, I think so. I think we have a lot of prospects out there. It takes billions of dollars in investment and to do that.
Okay.
To the state.
Back to politics. Back to politics.
All right.
Dave's Lottery. Now, we found a surprising winner, JKT. Do you believe, you worked with them both, that Representative JKT, what's his name, John whatever, Tompkins?
Jonathan Trace Tompkins.
And do you believe that Begich will be his lieutenant governor on a ticket? Or will their egos get in the way?
I don't think Begich is going to be an LT.
I concur with that. Okay. You have Wilson at 10% and Bronson at 8.6%. Do you think that Bronson will be a lieutenant governor for Wilson?
No.
Do you think that Wilson will acquiesce and remove herself from the race so Bronson could have a free run?
No.
Yeah, I concur with everything you just said. Oh, but you know, my thought is the two most important elected items in November are one, U.S. Senator Dan Sullivan.
Yep.
Two, vote yes on number two. Get rid of ranked choice voting. Because after you get rid of ranked choice voting, it's going to take about two, maybe three election cycles for everything to play back out where it should be. But you got to start somewhere. And hopefully we vote to get rid of ranked choice voting this time. Hey, how many times in a row can a guy locked up in New York be on the governor's ballot?
That's just sad. Or the Senate, you know. I mean, that's federal, obviously, but
yeah,
that needs to be fixed.
That's right. That's Senate, yeah, or whatever one, yeah.
Yeah, or no.
House. Actually, which one was it? Is House, yeah.
It's for the Congress, yeah, House for Begich. Is that guy was running. I mean, he's still running. I mean, it's insanity, you know. Those are those things that just make you go, why can't we fix this? This makes no sense, right?
Yeah, you know, this is what they have for U.S. representative, you know, nonpartisan, registered Republican, nonpartisan, registered Libertarian. Where's one that says registered prison inmate?
Yeah, felon. Yeah, you're correct.
You know, oh, my goodness. Only in Alaska now that we have ranked choice voting. Oh boy!
Yeah.
Any types of legislative items that you have planned to submit?
Yeah, we're gonna work on them. And I'm trying to draw a blank on some of the ideas we have right now. I know my staff knows. Paul Menke knows which one we want to kind of do to try. You know, nothing crazy, more common sense legislation, you know, to help benefit Alaskans. But I just draw a blank right now of even what's on our list. We'll definitely have some pre-filed stuff.
How many bills get filed every legislative, you know, 2 year term?
Oh, hundreds. You know, it seems like the House probably has more. Obviously, they have 40 legislators, but I think the House may have been in the 300s last year, and maybe the Senate.
I always crack up from Senator Kawasaki. He'll file a bill and he'll announce that it's passed.
Yeah, and you know, that's one of the things too. Where people, yeah, a bill gets read across, you know, whether it's in the Senate or the House, gets across the floor, and people are like, "Oh my God, you got to kill that bill, or you support that bill." And I'm like, I was the same way. I had no clue before I got down here that it just got read across. Then it gets assigned the committees. Then it has to go through the process, and then it has to go to the floor and voted on and then passed to the other body. You know, there's a long process, you know. I think we've made the process way too long. Like, people are like, no. If the legislature wants to get something done, we can get something done. They're choosing not to get something done, you know, and that's the problem.
The founding fathers wanted to make passing laws difficult. Mm-hmm. That was their intent. Okay, man, we're going to take another commercial break, okay?
Okay.
Fairbanks, you're listening to KFAR Radio with Senator Mike Kronk. We're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
CAD is Customer Appreciation Day at the Great Alaska Pizza Company. Our very best waiting for you Tuesday, just $6. Get your medium cheese or pepperoni pizza, only $6. Oh yeah, hot from the oven, fresh and fast. We know you're coming, so it's in the oven, fresh and fast. Customer Appreciation Day this Tuesday. One day only, medium cheese or pepperoni, just $6. Carry out only, fresh and fast.
KFAR Radio is proud to bring you 50-50 Friday. Every Friday at 9 a.m., log on to our website for a half-price offer from a local business. Great deals on restaurants, stores, shops, services, sporting events, and more. It's 50-50 Friday. This week's offer?
It's tea season, and it's time for you to embrace the change of season with Sipping Streams Tea Company. Whether you're still wrapping up summer or you crave the warmth and comfort of a great cup of tea, or if you're a true tea connoisseur, Sipping Streams Tea Company is perfect for you. For this week's 50-50 Friday, you'll get a $100 gift certificate to Sipping Streams for half price. It's a tea lover's paradise with a great menu. Sipping Streams Tea Company.
So log on to KFARradio.com this Friday morning starting at 9 a.m. for this awesome half-price offer. But hurry, as this deal will go fast. It's 50-50 Friday from KFAR.
In Alaska, trust matters, especially when it comes to your gold. Gold Buyers of Alaska is one of the largest refiners in the state, buying placer mining material from miners across Alaska. From Nome to Coldfoot to Chicken, they've built a reputation for honest, transparent service and fast turnaround. Whether it's 3 ounces or 1,000, they've got your back with competitive pricing every single day. Ask around camp, ask a miner who they trust. Gold Buyers of Alaska.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nanana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR Weather.
Slight chance for isolated rain showers today. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. High temperatures reach up to 65. Southeasterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Chance for scattered showers. Lows dip down to about 51. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Senator Mike Cronk calling in from Tok, Alaska. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good.
So, okay, let's go back to politics.
All right.
Do you think that Barbara Haney in District 33 will stop her run to replace Mike Prox because she did not win the primary election as she was hoping to, because that would give her a chance in the general?
I don't think so. I don't know. I don't know if she committed to doing that, but I don't believe.
Well, in the beginning, she was sort of like being a Burnett Wilson. If I'm not number one, I'm going to drop out. But now it's more like, oh, I've had people vote for me, and I can't let them down, probably. You know, a lot of people will use that as an excuse, and that's life. That's life.
Yeah, no, and I guess my frustration was there was like, if you're going to run against somebody, especially, you know, a Republican, you know, please tell me why, you know, I believe Rep Prox has done a really good job, you know, I do believe there was a vote he made a mistake on, and he actually tried to correct it, but the majority would not let him change his vote, right? So, you know, that stuff's going to happen, but I really want to know what did Mike do that warrants, you know, trying to seek him.
Having someone of that personality try and take his place?
that's my, you know, baseline is that, you know, I think Mike's done a good job, and, he does the work, and, you know, one of the things was they came up with this, that pharmacy bill that got passed, and they, you know, basically said, oh my God, you want to kill babies because of the pharmacy thing. And I remember on Facebook, I had to share that that was totally made up. That bill does not allow pharmacies.
The Attorney General's office and legislative legal has all said what you're describing here. It's all, no, it doesn't do that.
It doesn't do it at all, you know, and it's really frustrating that that message gets out there because it's just not true. But we see a lot of that nowadays. It's like, hey, it's maybe a half truth, or they just pick something out. And I was like, well, that's, I mean, I don't have a problem calling it out anymore. It's like, no, that's not true. That's, you know, we got to be honest with people. So, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I mean, if she said it, I hope she drops out. But, you know, if you're going to ask me, I'd say no.
Exactly. I predict that too. That's going through to the end, and hopefully they don't. My thought would be is if and I'm not getting involved, but if I was running the Republican Party, I would have, and then I'll tell you what I'd do if I was running the Democratic Party. I would have Republican Party. I would have Barbara Haney drop out. And I take all those resources in District 33, because now you really don't need them, and I put them into District 34 for Harmony Tomaszewski, since she, you know, that she came up a few hundred votes short of 52-48 against Joy Beth Cottle. If I was running the Republican Party, I would have Bernadette Wilson drop out because she was a very large underperformer of what she's supposed to do. And then I'd have Bronson, and don't let anyone else in. Just keep him there and keep it that way. If I was running the Democratic Party, I would have Begich just drop out because his ego is not going to be number two lieutenant. And they have to give JKT open road to that. They got 40% of the vote. They don't want a fight between the number one and number two people.
Yeah.
Simple as that. And if I was running the Democratic Party, I'd be putting all sorts of resources into District 34 because that one's all set on the table. Anyway.
Yeah. 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 You know, you're strategizing, though, and apparently we don't.
If I was king for the day.
We don't do that very well. I mean, there's a lot of things, you know. I mean, I've been kind of, for 6 years, I've, you know, been in this kind of what I call a game, and it's really frustrating because we've actually hurt our own, you know, selves as Republicans every year, where it's just a little bit more, and we've come more divisive with each other. And that's one of my things, like I said, with Barb and Mike Prox. I'm like, well, why? You know, I mean, give me some good reasons why we would try to split our resources there, you know?
Yeah.
In Alex, you know, that's all. I mean, I you know, I've worked with Barb. I appreciate Barb. I mean, she's helped me, and didn't, you know, I mean, I really appreciate it. But I want to know why. What, you know, has Mike done such a terrible job? I personally don't think so. I've worked with him, so.
Yeah, I've worked with him too, and he's first of all, he's a very fine gentleman.
Yeah.
Anyway, what the heck, but. Politics. How about that, man? No one out of the 23 or 24 people that played Dave's lottery, no one got it right. And that's that's the interesting thing about this. My goodness, no one got it right.
Right.
But you know, JKT, that was the interesting one. Boy.
Yeah. No. You know, and he. You know. I mean. I look at, you know, big picture, and the same goes with Senator Sullivan's race with Mary. You know, I mean, I tip my hat to Mary. She's been working it, right? You know, I mean, you when you see it, right? And you're like, okay, I appreciate the effort. But on the other hand, is whether it's Congressman Begich or Senator Sullivan, they're actually working in D.C., so they can't be as visible, you know, and out as much as somebody that's just running against you, you know, that's funded very well with millions and millions of dollars. But you know, when you see that, you gotta be, okay, I at least gotta acknowledge, hey, they are putting in an effort to, you know, get every vote they can, you know, I mean, and, you know, we need to take a look at that and say, hey, you know, maybe we need to do that a lot better.
Yeah. You know, you're correct. You're correct. And I think getting rid of ranked choice voting will help in that endeavor, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, if we can.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure that can happen. But
okay. I tell you something I'm sure is going to happen. You're going to go out. you're going to go out and hunt an endangered species this year, and you're going to bag it.
I don't know about an endangered species.
If your crosshairs are on it, it's endangered.
Well, okay, yes. I guess if that's how your definition of it. Yeah, so I will harvest something. You're correct.
You going to get a wolf this year at all, trapping?
I hope so. We just haven't, on my line, we just haven't had a lot of wolves. The caribou, the Nelchina caribou were the big drivers. They would migrate over in winter in our area, and they just stopped doing that once the herd size dropped down. So without them, I mean, we have some local ones around, which, yeah, but I just haven't had a lot to pick off, which is good for our moose population. You know, I'm not complaining, but it's...
Yeah, exactly. You know, lack of wolves means more moose to go harvest and caribou that are there anyway.
Yeah, so I did buy a new toy, though. I bought a thermal scope. So
what did you buy?
A thermal scope. So I'm going to plan on doing some... maybe we'll harvest some.
Is this going to be sniper cronk?
I'm going to try to. I mean, hopefully... You can only be a sniper if you hit something, right?
So what's the power of it?
Oh, man, I'd have to look. It's like an 8x42, I think, scope. So I bought a new 25 ACR or 22 ACR to put it on.
It's a varmint gun.
It's a varmint gun. That's strictly what it's for.
Yeah. That'll be fun. There's no squirrel in your hood that's going to be living through the event.
Yeah. No, we're kind of looking for. I got a couple callers to get out there and use, and so yeah. No, I'm looking forward to trying that out this winter, taking it with me and wherever.
Do you ever get any coyotes out there?
We do have a few. You know, down in the flats we have coyotes. So yeah. We used to have a lot of fox. I mean, where I trap is not so much. It's kind of weird country. It's like you got little pockets of things, but out in the flats of Northway, there's a lot more like fox and coyotes and stuff. So I'll try to get out there and do some stuff.
Okay. Well, we got about 2 minutes left here. You have a large endeavor before you with the constituents down there in Tok with the fire that happened.
Yeah, we do. It's hopefully we can get the resources for those that want to rebuild. And I mean, because a lot of people in Tok actually built their homes out of pocket, right? And a lot of them didn't have insurance, so
yeah,
they're gone. You know, there's nothing to fall back on insurance wise. So it's basically starting over. And I know a few are ready to do that right now. So we're just trying to figure out the resources that we can provide. I mean, I think this really gives us a better idea of how we help people. You know, because there are companies right now, Papoose Milling up in the valley and out of Big Lake and, Young's Timber in Tok, and then even Dry Creek that make these really, really nice cabin packages. And, if we had some sort of fund set aside as a state where you don't have to go through all these processes, hey, we could provide a cabin kit, and then maybe we even buy, create a program with some of our unions that, if we had disasters happen, hey, they'll come in and, do the plumbing, wiring and stuff. And, we could throw up homes pretty quick.
Dedicate some resources towards it.
Yeah, I think that's Alaskans helping Alaskans. So, we want to kind of work on how to create a program like that. And no matter where it happens, right? I mean, we all have to take care of each other. If it happens, then doesn't matter where it happens. Fairbanks, McGrath.
We're Alaskans.
We're Alaskans. Let's help each other. So, yeah.
Okay, buddy. I appreciate your time, Senator. Really, God bless you. Godspeed to you. You have a good day in Fairbanks. That is our show for today. I will see you tomorrow with Brett Roederman and John Ringstedt.